Anyway, I want to introduce and say thank you to Rav Gav, who I just said to Rabbi Aaron, who is such a major staple of the Chizuk mission. He's like, what is it? No, but the truth of the matter is just the heart and soul and the and Baruch Hashem for many, many, many moons. I think it's 16 years, yes? 16 or 15. Almost, we're on our going on to our 16th year. But Baruch Hashem, Rav Gav has inspired, he's inspiring the world. And without further ado, without introduction, or with all introduction, Rav Gav.
Yeah. That was amazing. So has anyone here ever found themselves learning a sefer, getting to a pasuk, and kind of reading through the pasuk to get to the next part? So don't say what I'm talking about, right? Always, right? And it's classic in guys learning in yeshiva, and they're learning gemaras, and they get to a particular gemara, and the gemara says, Shen ne'emar, or dichsev, and then it says, you know, like we just, you know, quoted from whatever, you know what I'm saying? Armach patashtin, right? And it goes to the thing. All right. The mistake is to understand, the Ramchal didn't write something and then bring psukim. The psukim are the sefer. You understand? That is everything. All the Ramchal did, not all. The big thing the Ramchal did is explain Tzfanya Divrei Hayamim Beis to you what it actually means. You understand? So I actually, when I learned through this famous, so I know you pay attention, someone said this to me, I can't remember who said it to me, it was a really big thing. It's not that let me get through these to get to that. It's understand that is explaining this. And if you were to read through the pasuk without really understanding it, then read through the thing and go back to the pasuk, then you'd understand, oh, okay, now I see what's going on over here. It's important to understand. And where's the pasuk coming from? Usually come from Tanakh, which means we're talking about these pasukim are coming from Hashem. You understand? So that's when you get it. It's not like, wow, the Ramchal's amazing. No. Hashem is amazing. You understand? Right? It's amazing how people like become, when someone's, when you hear someone quoting the Rebbe, like my Rebbe once said, Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'es ha-haretz. Right? It's like, oh yeah, your Rebbe said that? That's nice. You know who else said that? Plagiarism. That's the Lord. You understand? Like, what do you mean your Rebbe said that? You know? A lot of Bali Tshuva will do that type of thing. I remember a guy comes in today, we didn't even start the class yet. This is whatever. It's like, we have plenty of time, like 20 minutes at least, maybe 15. So there's, relax, 32. But a point, Kamacha Lave. But this guy comes into Aish, and he's a Baal Tshuva, and I tell him something. I'm like, yeah, listen. He asked me a question. I say, listen, Revel Yashiv says X. And they go, okay, but what do you say? I say, what do I say? What do you mean, what do I say? Okay, so Revel Yashiv says what you say. And, you know, you're all rabbis. Like, what's the difference? I'm like, okay, let's just get this straight, yeah? And then we can work on the Ramchal and Rabbeinu Bechaya, and we can learn through Rabbeinu Yonah and realize, you understand the busha that they would feel if you said, wow, they're amazing? Yeah, they'd be like, what are you talking about? This is the Lord Almighty. You know, this isn't me. This is Hashem. And by the way, interestingly, I'm just thinking as I'm talking. I don't always do that, but I'm thinking as I'm talking. And it says that the Gemara says, and we also learn about it from Megillas Esther, that anyone says, Davar b'shem Amro, mevi Geula, right? Someone who says something in the name of the one who said it, they bring the Geula. Why? Why does it bring the Geula? The answer is it's an immediate thing. When you say b'shem Amro, you know where you're going to get to? You're going to get to Hashem. Because where does it all come from? You say b'shem Amro, so say Esther said it b'shem Mordechai, and that's ended up, right, that's the Megillah. But ultimately, where'd he get that from? Where'd that come from? All right, I gave a shiur a bunch of years ago. It's on Torah Anytime. I even saw the shiur with my son and the helmet. If you know what I'm talking about, you know. If you don't know, fine. Anyway, in the storyline, it's first of all, you should watch it. Yeah. First of all, you watch it. I don't make any money off it. It's not a my like thing. It's not like I'm like getting ad stuff. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Okay, I think it's on Torah. It's on YouTube, Chashon, but it might also be on Torah Anytime also. I don't know. If you really want it, I'll try to work it to get on Torah Anytime or whatever it is. If you actually care enough to whatever and you're not looking at YouTube all day anyway. So the point of the shir, there's a lot of like whatever, but the ultimate point of the shir is to come back to Hashem. That's what the Megillah is, like what Berkowitz was talking about. Everything comes back to recognize it's, you know, for the hafachu, everything gets flipped on its head. It's not what you thought it was, it's something else, it's all good, fine, good. We just summed up Purim and Hanukkah, right? So there. Let's move on to Pesach. Okay, so now. So essentially that is the so what do I go into as I go into the story? My son had to have a surgery, and how did it come about that I was able to work, that my wife and I were able to work this out? was because I met this person and that person introduced me 5 years earlier and that one 10 years, whatever it is, and so on and so forth. So my father called me up recently and he said, wow, you listened to the shiur recently. Yeah, very good. Okay. You do know, like, if you keep going back, you do know it's because I'm your father. You know, that, like, you didn't mention that in the shiur. You know, I was like, whoops, forgot that one, you know, on purpose. But the point is that... I said, I think I actually did say it, but I said I actually skipped a lot of steps because if you go into this year, it actually goes all the way back. It's like, wow, because I met this guy in high school, and I met that person on the Pesach program, whatever, just dropping things. I met this person, whatever, which by the way is totally not a flex. It's actually really sad, but fine. The point is that unless you go to them, it's wonderful. You're fantastic. You are fantastic, but don't ever go again. So if you find me going one, it's for Klal Yisrael. It's for Klal Yisrael. So the point is, I bring it all the way back to Hashem. That's the point. You learn through the psukim. The psukim are it. It is everything. It is everything. It all comes back to Hashem. Fine. So I learned Chovos Halavos, not the whole thing. I learned Shaar Bitachon, right, chapter 4. Dabbled in a few other ones, Shaar Avonos Elokim, which is the third one. In any event, you have to want to do it. And it's a little bit, like I said, for me, let's put it this way. For me, it was a little tedious with psukim, and I had to like actually take time to whatever. And to actually keep, you know, hold cup with all the lists of like what's going on. Now, something to understand: when the Rishonim speak, and I think technically he was pre-Rishon, which means that if he's speaking, that means there's not extra stuff going on there. There's, you could be medayik each thing. That's like famously the Vilna Gaon writes about the Ramchal. Anyone ever got to any edition of ever, and you read the intro, you've seen as the Gra says about Moshe Chaim Tzadok. Understand? When did the Gra live? When did the Gra live? Approximately. 17th. Yeah, no, you guys, I think everyone's right, if I heard you say it right. The 1700s, 1720 to 1797, or 5 or 4. That's the Beit HaMidrash exactly where you died. The Ramchal lived when? 1707 to 1746, but in Italy, in Padua, right? So we're talking about over here that they overlapped, right? They overlapped, which is an amazing concept. You think of the Gra and the Ramchal overlap. The Gra died, he was a lot older. The Ramchal was 39 when he passed away. So they say he was a Gilgul of Rabbi Akiva. As Rabbi Akiva started at 40, so we're about to 39, so Ramchal was a Gilgul of Rabbi Akiva. In any event, the Vilna Gaon writes, I don't know what happened to the rest of the chapters, but he writes that he learned through the first 9 chapters of Mesillas Yesharim. Just can you imagine? You know, you write a book, you get like an approbation. You know, Berkowitz is starting everywhere. Saying the Ramchal wrote, the Vilna Gaon wrote about if you're Sfardi, the Gaon from Vilna. So yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, so Vilna Gaon with the album Shlomo Zalman Kramer made the amount of names with the Kalman. Fine, he comes out and he writes, says the Gra, that there's not a single word that is superfluous, that's extra. I don't think he said superfluous, whatever language he spoke, but there's not one extra word in the first 9 chapters. And he said, if I could, I think he had passed away at the time already, he said, I would walk across Europe barefoot to meet the Ramchal. This is what the Vilna Gaon said. Right now, let's take a look and understand, take a step back. That was the 1700s. When you have someone of the caliber of Rabbeinu Bachai Ibn Bakir who's writing something, it sounds like he's repeating himself, but clearly he's not. You understand? There's something that's there that's got to be investigated. Okay, all of that is an intro to then get into that Rav Soloveitchik, meaning brisk. I call it brisk bitachon. Brisk bitachon, right? Beis Halevi. He comes on and he writes, he wrote a whole essay on bitachon. It's not big, it's very small. It's relatively very small, but Rav Sutton came along and he expanded it and he wrote different things in it. And that's only, now why is it worth, it's really worth it to read through Chovos Halavos because it's a lot more expanded. If you read through Beis Halevi, he's quoting the Chovos Halavos all the time. But it's a lot more down to earth in terms of like easy, bite-sized, straightforward concepts. Here's what I wanted to share with you, that something which is, I just asked for Berkowitz when he was here, he saw me walk him out because I want to make sure I'm not saying kfir. So, I usually like to talk to my rabbi before I go up to speak. I probably should have, I spoke to my rabbi this morning, but I didn't get a chance to say. Fine, so here's the deal. The world that we live in is it can get very confusing. It's extremely confusing, right? It's very confusing, and that we know. It's actually not confusing at all. It's actually very simple. It's just wrong. You see? It's just wrong. We live in a world which is wrong. And that's what the Gemara says, Olam Hafach, right? I saw an upside down world. we're living in an upside down world, right? We're living in the world that what's praise. Now, what we're seeing now in our day is above and beyond the levels of understanding how upside down it was. At least you could have pretended 20 years ago that the world wasn't upside down, right? You could have pretended that. Now it's like, huh? You know that at the Oscars about the red pins? Right, they're putting on, you know, we have the yellow ribbon. So in the Oscars, people are wearing red pins to support Gaza. A red bloody hand. It's a red pin with like a bloody hand. And these people are you like, hello? Like, it's so much, it's so ridiculous. It's not even worth talking about. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, you know? Like, why would you discuss things that are just so silly? It's like talking about college, you know? It's like, what are you wasting your time, you know? Is that too much? Is that too soon? Too much? You guys are posts. Anyway, so point is to understand the idea that we're living in a world that's so backwards, it's so upside down. Like, how could you not see it? And it's funny when they go out to the UN, they make speeches, you know, the UN has betrayed us, whatever. It's like, I was just thinking, like, imagine the people there actually spoke their mind. Some do. Like, Hamas is very open. They're very open. Like, it's not like, we want to kill you, right? Oh, you do this deal with us? We're still going to kill you. It's not like, oh, we'll work it out. No, we're going to actively try killing you while you're giving us back our terrorists. It doesn't get more clear. And everyone in Hollywood's like, oh my goodness, the poor people. Like, can you help them a little? Can you just help them a little? All they want to do is kill you. Like, what's that? Like, what is so big over here? What is the complication, right? And you wonder, like, people get up in the UN, they say, imagine the UN people there would speak what they were really feeling, you know? You know, it's like you look at the Senate. You look at the Senate, I don't know if you've seen any of these things, but, you know, when they get up and they talk, you know, Madam Senator, you know, Madam of the House, Sir of the Thing, Lord of the what, Lord of the Rings, right? And they go, it's all, what kind of silliness is it, right? It's all superficiality. Now, I'm not saying everybody's superficial. I'm really not saying that at all. I don't believe that to be true. I believe that people can be very genuine, but not in these settings, right? These settings are all baloney, and the only ones that are speaking up, if you're like, I forget, if you're a vegetarian, it's all lettuce. The whole thing is lettuce, and I'm really sensitive here, okay? Again, if you really are a vegetarian, I'm going to dive in for you. But the point is let's understand that, is this too much? I feel like, am I too much? I feel like a lot of my students don't like me. Like, I'm too much. Like, I'm a little too intense. Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. I have these students now that really, this year I went a little harder, and they really, oh my goodness, they hate me. You know, but okay, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. I got even said yesterday in class, I said, I heard that you guys, I'm a little bit hard on some of you. They're like, uh-huh. You know, I was like, oh, well, I didn't really expect that reaction. Fine. But the point is, eat meat. Fine. So here's the deal. Unless it's a health thing, fine, blah, blah, blah. Fine. So here's the deal. Here's the deal is that the world we live in is upside down, and it's become so clear that it's upside down now that it's even silly to converse. Like, why would you get up and say, it's reprehensible? And you have to come up with words like that. You can't just, like, discuss it and say, it is reprehensible, like, as it says in Sfanya. Again, you're going to quote somewhat, but you don't even know what that word means. And, like, to go and behave in such a way, people in the UN, if they actually would say their feelings, would get up and say, okay, but honestly, we don't care, so just sit down. You get it? But they don't have the guts to do that yet. Some do, right? But for the most of it, they don't yet. Because that's essentially what that's my point. They didn't get there yet. They didn't get there yet. That's what Hamas is doing. And they're like, we're happy. We have no problem with it. We're good with it. I mean, look what they did. Fine. It's too much. It's a waste of time to talk about. My point is a chaval al azman, as they say. You know, like, literally, chaval al azman. It's like, I went to go speak in Ranana, and the it's an Israeli-American, you know, thingamajig. So they, on Purim, a couple years back, and they gave the title of the class, chaval al azman. And under it, they wrote, waste of time. That's whatever it is. So, but it's literally just a waste of time to go ahead and to talk about it so much. What is important to do is to wake up a little. That's the point, is to come to recognize that like the Vilna Gaon said, the number one sefer, the one book that a person should read all the time is Megillas Esther. You should read Megillas Esther every single day. Like, why is that? Because Megillas Esther is the story of our lives. That's what it is. It is the what? How can it be? What's going on? Oh my goodness. And it wasn't like a 1-2 punch. It was a 9-year ordeal, right? We start, it was like, can we finish this, please? Can we go? We're hungry, you know, we're fasting, right? Or if you're in Israel, you're like, I'm not yet hungry because I didn't fast today. It was the day before. But when's going to be just done this so we can get drunk and whatever we're going to do? Understand that was 9 years. Could you imagine? Lahashmid la'argu la'abid is kol yehudam anoshem noshem v'taf b'yom echa. There's one day, and it was, the world hasn't gotten there yet, but will openly say, and even the Nazis, Yimach Shem HaMizachon, didn't say this. Do you understand? Even they didn't say this openly. They did what they did, but you know, at the end of the war, they tried to hide everything. They tried to cover it up. They were unsuccessful in a lot of it, which is why we have a lot of things that we could still see. You go to Europe, but the point to go to Poland. But the point is that it's they tried to hide it. They tried to stop it from going on. So we go ahead and we say, that's why we read the Megillah. Can you imagine they would come openly? Even the Nazis don't do such a thing where they say openly what we're going to do. They tried to hide the concept. But here they come and they say, we are going to kill Anoshim, Noshim, Vitash, Vitaf, Biyom Echad, men, women, children, one day. You're all done. It's over. What? What does that even mean? And it's a ben. Can you imagine walking through the streets now and seeing signs? The day is coming. You know, the day coming to the Napa. And you see it coming towards you. You're like, oh my God. Da, da, da. You're like, what? It's almost there. I can't believe it. I'm saying, what? What's going on? Ah, da, 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 da. How am I going to do this? This is what was going on, right? And here we go. This is what we're living in a, it's like surreal. You could ask Harav Ben, that living in Eretz Yisrael is a funny thing. Because we're living in a world where although he was much more involved, obviously, in the war stuff, but I'm just trying to think about, like, what was Nazi Germany? Like, you had people in camps, while other Jews were fine, right? There were others in the world that were fine, living their life, eating cream cheese, you understand? And it wasn't even Chol Yisrael. But the point is, they're eating cream cheese, they're doing their thing. Some did, some got Chol Yisrael, whatever. But have Moishe, whatever the Shuvah, and afterwards, fine. But the point is that we're eating Goyish milk, and even Jewish milk, some. And these people are in Holocaust. Are they in Holocaust? What's happening now? Exactly, there's people in the Holocaust. They're in the tunnels. And here I am just living my life, you know, having a rugalach. You understand? It's like a crazy thing to wrap your head around. Like, what's going on over here? Try to imagine. You had signs that were put up all over the place saying, like, the day is coming. And that's what Iran did. That's what they do. They say, we're going to kill you. It's obviously, it's got to be some sort of psychological warfare, because otherwise, what are you telling us? We're going to send, why would you tell us? Like, this is like every diabolical plan of every, you know, James Bond 007 thing, where it's like the bad guy gets behind Bond, and Bond doesn't see him. And he puts the gun to his head and he goes, I got you now, Bond. And Bond says, oh no. Pa. And then, right? And the thing ends. And you're like, why didn't you just shoot? Keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. What are you doing? Just kill the guy. That's the nace. You know, the nace is at the... What?
Then we wouldn't have had 7 minutes.
Exactly. Then it'd be over. But it is now. But what's the name? Jeff bought it. Whatever. They're going to redo it. There's going to be some black guy's going to be it. Now, fine. But the point of this thing, how crazy is it? Why are you telling us? You know, why would you tell us that you're going to do it? What are you giving us the game plan? But it's amazing. The gaiva. And the silliness at the same time. You know that this guy Sinwar, comes along. You know. Do you know what? I just read an article in Mishpacha. It wasn't mine, okay, but I read it. It was my wife's. I read it in this article about Sinwar. That Sinwar was coming from the south, and you have what's your machshavah in the north? What's his name?
Nasrallah.
I love not Lashalom, right? So was in the north. And they were originally supposed to work together. And you know, Sinwar, this is a great word they used. Hold on. This is a great word, Mishpacha said. He's such a megalomaniac. I don't know what it means, but it's a big word, right? Yeah, I think it means he has an allergy to wheat. I think that's what it means. But the point is, the guy is such a megalomaniac that he wanted to go down in history to be the one to topple Israel. So he didn't tell them that he was going to attack. And he attacked, and he was hoping that Yimach Shemo up north was going to join. And he hoped correctly. In other words, Yimach Shemo up north was going to join, but he wasn't ready. The Yimach Shemo in the south went so quick that Yimach Shemo in the north wasn't ready. And by the time he understood what was going on, Israel already amassed troops, and they're already stopping what's going on there. You understand that if the guy would have had a little achdus... Just a little actus. What that could have done? It's unbelievable. A scary concept. This is because of the gaiva. Haman Yimach Shemo. What a fool. The Gemara says about Haman Yimach Shemo. You know what he did? He wrote a letter, and this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara Megillah, I think it's Tezvav, could be Zudal, could be Zudal Manav, could be Zudal Gimel. You're not going to check. But the Gemara says that Haman, that he, silly boy. What a silly boy. because of his self-esteem issues, right? Because of the fact that his self-esteem issues, he was whipped. This guy was whipped. Now, if you're not familiar with what whipped means, it means where the wife runs the show. And we know, behind every man is a couch. Behind that couch is a woman with the whip. You understand? And then your nay-nay, right? But the point is that Haman was whipped, boo. And he was upset that his wife was running the show. So he sent a letter out to the world saying, men rule in their house, not women. Now, you know what's always funny? When you have especially young chassanim or young kallahs say, men are like this, women are like that. All you're telling me is your spouse. That's all you just did. You just told me what your husband's like. You know, like, men are like that. If you're married a number of years and you've been around, and you're a therapist, you spoke to people, you say whatever, you could say such a statement. But if you're 21 years old and you're newly married, you go, women, it's just, I'll tell you what they're like. Tell me more about your wife. You know what I'm saying? That's essentially what it's like. Haman just sent to the world, this is what my wife is like. So everyone got this message and they're like, this is a strange message. This is like saying a man who owns his house owns his house. Shkoyach. Thank you so much. Haman, a man rules over the house. That's what you're telling me, especially Daniel is going, of course the man was ruling over. You say this thing, what a silly statement. Okay, we know the truth. Like the man, the job of a woman is to give the man a stroke to ego to let him think he runs the house and you get to do whatever you want. I mean, that's essentially how it works. And oh, it's so sad that people don't get that, by the way. It's so sad. It's so sad. Men are very simple cell organisms. It's not, it's really not complicated. It's like amoeba. You know what I'm saying? There's very few things that are necessary. The one thing that is necessary is stroke the ego. That's it. Just make him feel like the king. That you could be the king, but let him, you don't have to be the queen. You could be the king and queen. You could be whatever. Nowadays, or whatever, in the previous administration, you could be whatever you want. But I say, in fact, make him feel like a king and he'll really do whatever you want. This is really genuine thing, unless he's like a megalomaniac. You know what I'm saying? And he lives in the South, right? But then that's the thing. Haman, boo, what a fool. You go and you sent it out because he sent out that letter. The next letter he sent wasn't as taken as seriously. Yes, and then the world was like, really, we're going to kill him? This is ridiculous. You understand? Even though we had the whole decree against us was already fraught. F-R-A-U-G-T, with issues, right? It was already fraught with problems from the get-go because this silly boy decided, because of his own emotional issues, to send out the letter to tell everyone about his wife and his issues, right? It's a crazy concept. This is, you see, Chastei Hashem. Like, this is a Chastei Hashem. I just gave a shiur in Queens, and it's online. If you saw it, then you'll hear it. You won't know what I said. They say, what is the similarity between Hamas and yeshiva guys? Both of them don't know how to set their alarm clocks. Anyone know the nace that just happened with 15 buses? You know, people talk about the fact that it was 2 buses, then 5 buses, and 15 buses. It just happened a couple of days ago, a week ago. That what happened, they go out, and it was supposed to go off, I forget, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, there's a machloka. So I remember 8:40 is different, Rabbeinu Tam, or there's a whole, like what exactly time it was supposed to be. But the point is, let's call 8 o'clock on average. It's supposed to go off at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 9 o'clock, whatever it is. And it went, 9? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm gonna think. 9? It's supposed to go 9 in the morning. It went up 9 at night. It's unbelievable. You know, see the catastrophe that was averted? That's unbelievable. And that was only what they published at the time. Then they found another 13 buses that had stuff on it. It's just a crazy concept, what we're living through. It's a crazy concept. Without Hashem, where are we? We have nothing. That's it. Eso es todo. Terminamos. Finalizamos. It would have been a long, long time ago. I can't remember because we're dead. You know, see, that's what would have happened. Hashem goes ahead and tamido evontim and tamini elira, and goes ahead and saves us and takes every little thing of our life. Okay, now what's the point of that? If we take it to its nth degree, oh, shalom, shalom, shalom. I didn't even notice you. Oh my goodness. That's crazy. Okay, I'm waiting for my introduction. I want my next introduction.
This is going to be good. This is Rav Gav.
Yes.
Gav is a mnemonic for great, awesome, and so outstanding. We're so happy he grew up.
What's the B? What's the B?
I did Gav. Not the Rav. Great.
You said outstanding.
Awesome.
V.
And V.
Vivacious. I said
vivacious.
No, I said very smart, very brilliant.
All right, we'll take it. You never sent me the poem from that.
Right,
is it recorded still?
Yes. Yeah, but
Blina after Blina.
Okay, let's do our thing now. Ready? And this week's Parsha is...
Oh, no, we got this after. I don't know. I'm behind the shy micro. All right, so here's the deal. Nikates? No, hold on 1 second. Shows
the
top. Truma. Truma.
Yeah. The color?
Oh, very good.
You know why?
Yes. Okay, yeah, it's intense. That's intense. All right, so here's the deal. So what's the nth degree of this concept? Is to come to recognize the following concept. Now, here's the amazing point of this is that there's nothing we don't know. We all know that it's the God-powered life. But we all are familiar with the fact that Hashem is living a joyous life, right? We know that concept, and there's something about God again. Right? Everyone, there's no one here that doesn't know that there's a God, and doesn't know that God takes care of everything. That's not the issue. We all know that. The question is whether or not we actually take it to the end of what that means. So what does that mean? What does that mean that Hashem runs the world? What does that mean to the nth degree? So, in one of the footnotes in this book, in Brisk Bitachon, he brings down, quoting from the Stipler, the Birkos Peretz, the following idea. He says that for a person to feel anxiety, to feel stress, that's normal. You're allowed to do that. There's a level. There is certainly a level, Bitachon, that a person can get to, and they don't have that at all. They simply do not have it. It just doesn't, it's not there. They're totally fine. They're at ease, they're calm, and they're totally in the game. Excessive is the problem. Okay, then the question will be, how do you define that? Where does that fit in? And I was speaking of Elba, said to my neighbor, he said, that his wife said before, Shalem, Chanabas Beruah. And he said to me that, just this morning, we're driving down, we stopped right next to Joe. We're actually really close. I was a little nervous that it was going to happen. My car, I really don't care about because it's like a clunker, but his car is a nice car. I don't want to mess it up. You know, it's like a Hyundai or whatever it is. Not the long one, the short one, whatever, fine. So he said that there's an idea of like feeling nervous and anxious and staying nervous and anxious. Those are two separate things, right? Person to feel an initial feeling of nerves and anxiety, that's okay. We're human. It makes sense. That is a level. I can still believe in Hashem and still feel like, oh, this is a little bit of a challenge. And I know it's coming from Hashem and I got the fact it's coming from Hashem. However, to take it to the next and continue with it and to stay nervous and to build on those nerves and make it more, that's where the problem is. Right? That's where the issue comes up. So to say that we're not going to be nervous at all, it's a darga, it's a madrego we should all be zocha to. Amen. However, in the meantime, if one has not reached that lofty level of most of us, okay, if you haven't reached it yet, let's understand that that's a normal thing to know. But to realize what's the nth degree, at least the Chofetz Chaim must write this explicitly a number of times, and also the Sefer Chinuch. Who wrote the Sefer Chinuch? Excellent. That's right. Anonymous, we don't know. She wasn't talking just for you. She was like, we don't know. Hey, say Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Shiloh being Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't know who exactly wrote it. They don't know when it was written about.
Then.
What grade did they teach us then that I don't know any of?
Yeah, they don't teach this stuff. You just have to care. You know, I was on a plane a few times, but one particular time, I was sitting next to a woman, and she says to me as we're speaking, it was a 4-hour theological thing. I taught her about Christianity, and she wanted to convert to Judaism. And she says to me, so what do you have like a PhD in? So I said, I just want to explain. First I laughed. You know, I was saying, I don't know why you laughed. I laughed. You know, and I said, PhD? And then first of all, in my world, the PhD means Papa has dough. And my Papa ain't go no dough. You know what I'm saying? I have a double negative PhD. That's what I'm holding it. And I'm a high school dropout. Like it was a great high. It was a great high school. The high school was great. I was actually talking about this with my wife yesterday. I really enjoyed high school. I don't like school, but I liked high school. You did a great job. Thank you. I appreciate that. It was a big deal. The high school I went to DRS, DR Stoller. And it was. It was really it was great. So when do they teach you this? They don't. You have to actually learn something. So how do you know everything? Like Mark Twain famously said, I never let my schooling get in the way of my education. Right? Don't be fooled that, oh, person went to school, they have a PhD. Oh my goodness. Anyone who lets you know they have a PhD also has low self-esteem. That's the bottom line. Why are you telling me that? You're telling me that because that sums up who you are. Well, what do we happen to be talking about molecular biology? And then I go on and tell you that. That's a different story. But if you just walk over, hi, my name is so-and-so, PhD, why would you share that with me? It's like a strange thing. Someone said they have a double PhD. I was like, oy vey, I'm so sorry. I mean, it's a serious drama. You know, like, wow, both parents. Fine. But the point being is that when did he live? He lived around the time right following the Rambam. That should give you another idea, which is around the 13th and 12th, right? So it's 11:35 to 12:04, accomplished a heck of a lot in a half hour. And so we're talking about right into the 13th century, the 1200s. This is he quotes the Rambam alive. So we say that that's what we're talking about. Fine. The Chinuch writes in the mitzvah of nekama, losikom, right? Not to take nekama. He says, taking nekama on someone is just silly. Why would you take nekama? Right? So what does that mean? Well, what that means is that I would want to take revenge on you. I only would take revenge on you if I actually am machshiv you to be the cause of this. You understand? I don't understand English. Machshiv. I importantize you to be, I make it as though you are the one that has the power. But what if you recognize the fact, the classic one, and also he brings it down, in Brisk B'tochen, the Brisk, the Beis Levi himself writes it, that not to get caught up with the stick, right? That's a classic idea. If someone's, imagine the following, I mean, it's a little different than I've heard it. I actually never heard it said like this. Imagine somebody is getting hit with a stick. And as they're getting hit with a stick, they go, please, please, stick, stop hitting me, stick. I never heard it like that. I always heard it like, you attack the stick, right? But it is like, no, please, stick, don't hit me. Stop it, stick. And the person with the stick is like, bro, what is wrong with you? He's like, what do you mean? I'm getting hit by the stick. You're not getting hit by the stick. You're getting hit with a stick. It's not by the stick. It's by me with a stick. You understand? Every circumstance that we go through is coming from Hashem. I was on a bus, and a woman says to me, she came over to me, and we had a mechitza or whatever, and she says to me, it was the Hyman bus going to Montreal from the way with called the mechitza. I was actually here in Eretz Yisrael, hit Manro, right? So he stopped at Manro on the way to Montreal. Anyway, so this was not that bus, I was on that bus, that was a crazy story, but this here in Eretz Yisrael, and this woman comes over, and she says, hi, whatever. She said, my cousin is going through a lot of tsaros in life, and she's angry at God. And I told her, it's okay to be angry at God. Is that okay? So I said to her, at least she has the right address. Let's start with that. You want to say it's okay to be angry at God? That's a good question. But let's start with the fact that I'm glad she's angry at God. She got the right address over here. You happen to be wrong, okay? But it's the right address. Being angry at God means that your thought process of God is wrong. You never be angry at God if you know that God is right. The only time you get angry is if you think something's wrong. I'm not, you have to understand, what I just did is I was a man. That's what I did. I was a man just now. You understand? All of you are like, ah! That's what you're all doing inside. Like, ah, we're women! Okay, fine. So you're fine. Be angry at God. Do whatever you want. Break Shabbat. Go off the ark. Right? But I mean to say, so what did you guys learn in Isha Torah? No, what I'm saying is let's just be realistic for a second. Anxiety, stress, like we spoke about, the stipler. Okay, fine. We get it. There's an initial whatever. The question is, what do you do after that? And how do we take that? How far do we go? All right, so you want to say, I'm upset at the situation, I'm making a decision. However, if one would actually realize, and if I would realize that what's happening to me is there is nothing better, simply the best, there's nothing better than this. This is the absolute best thing. Here's the crazy thing. You ask, where do we learn these things? About when's the Ram, when's the Ramchal, you don't learn them. But you know you do learn. You learn Kol Ma'adav Rechman L'Tava, but you learn Gamzul L'Tova, you learn the fact that Hashem runs the world, you learn about the V'nahafachu, you learn the fact of the Megillah, you learn the idea that Hashem B'Tachon, you learn Emunah, you learn all these ideas, but we don't do anything with them. Now, I'm not saying we don't. Of course we do. Everyone does it on a certain level. But the point is, we sometimes cap ourselves, right? It's like, I got to a point and I'm done. You know, it's like a Baal Tshuva who becomes a Baal Tshuva and then stays where they are. And they say, you got to work and you got to grow. They go, I have to do, you're telling me I was secular, now I'm religious. And he says, okay, but you stayed the same religious for the last 20 years. You got to continue growing. But that's every one of us that keep growing, and then we say even better, we're not Baal Tshuva, we grew up religious, and we actually never grew. We stayed where we are always. You know, we got to keep growing. We got to keep growing. Don't stop, right? You're growing. It's got to keep moving, and hold on to the feeling. Right? It's got to be all that thing. Fine. And then streetlight and people for some reason. Fine. But then they don't know what to say. Oh, whoa. Right, so, but here's the deal. This stuff we do know. You're getting angry at Hashem. I can't say this to you if you're really in a situation, right? I can't say this in a situation, but if we're at a situation, we can at least understand the concept of here. Up in here, up in where we can get it. Are you crazy? You get upset at Hashem? But that makes no sense. You get upset at Hashem. Like, you know that it's the best thing. Yeah, but I don't see it. I hear that I hear. But we're not children. We're children relative to Hashem, but we're actually also adults, which gives us the capacity to say, at least I don't understand what it is, but I can know that there is something, right? A child will be upset and angry because they don't have any sort of cognitive capabilities to be able to work this thing out in terms of a prefrontal cortex ability, right? But we have prefrontal cortex. We just don't use it. To stop and process, nobody can do anything to us but Hashem. Nobody. The Gemara says in Megillah and Daf, Tesvav Umabes, that one of the reasons why Esther invited Haman to the party. She invited Haman to a party. Why? The Gemara, I think, gives 12 answers. I don't remember exactly. I think it's 12 answers. One of them. And the Gemara ends with, well, which one's the answer? Said they're all the answer. And like each one, but there was a reason for each one of them. And it says that, says Rabbi Nehemiah, you know why? Why Esther invited Haman to the party? Because the Jewish people said, we have a sister who's in the palace. We're good. We don't have to worry about it. Esther wanted to make sure that they didn't rely on that. So she made it look like she joined forces with Haman. That the Jews would be like, oh no, really ain't lan nir al mili yishayin. We have no one to rely on. No, but we have Esther. No, you have no one. Rav Sternbach just put out a video. I don't think he put out the video, but there was a video put out of Sternbach who is saying, you can watch it, it's in English. It was about 2 weeks ago, and he said that that the Jewish people, there's a problem, and we are relying too much on the army, we're relying too much on our might and whatever, and we're not relying on Hashem. And because of that, things are only going to get worse. You understand? I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly. You can look it up. But things are not going to get better until we, whatever it is. All these things. The Gemara says also similarly, also over there in Yudalid, that 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os weren't able to do what Hamanbu, when the removal of the ring from Achashverosh to Haman, just giving that ring, like Rebbe was talking about, take up the signet, whatever it is. 55 Nevi'im and Nevi'os throughout Tanakh, throughout history, weren't able to change us. Was able to change us? When we're going through such terrible things. Because then all of a sudden we realize, oh no, we really have nowhere to turn. What do we do? And when a person gets to that point, then all of a sudden we start to change. We start to wake up and be like, whoa, no one has the power? So everything we talk about now is more global. I want to bring it in a little, even though I have to finish 3 minutes ago. I want to bring it global for a second. Specific. Not as macro, but micro. I want to go, like, let's bring it individual. Okay, Hamas, the north, the south, the east, the west, the northwest, the north, all around Israel. You know, like, yeah, those concepts, we have to be careful. We have to know that we have to daven and all that thing. Got it. Keep doing that. That's good. What about, I'm still dealing with this. What about the principal who's not letting your kid into school? What about the boss that's not giving you the raise or that's not hiring you or whatever it may be? How do we feel about that? Do we recognize the fact, number one, they're a stick? They're just a stick. That's all they are. Your boss is a stick. Your employee is a stick. That's all it is. The principal of the school that you cannot stand for your kids, maybe your school is good, I know I understand there's a new one that's going up, but the principal of your school or the teachers, who are they? They're all sticks. That's all they are. They're just sticks. And sticks and stones will break my bones, but they actually can't. Only Hashem can break a bone. The stick and stone just is a Shli Hashem. Oh, Rabbi, how are you? Could you hold the masses for 3 minutes? I'm upstairs finishing. Thank you. That's my other boss. Okay, besides the insurance. So, they're all, the stick is called, right? It's just, everything is just a stick. And this is where things get out of control crazy, this idea, if we would actually recognize this concept. When Esther Hamalka was talking to Achashverosh, and she had the meeting with Achashverosh, the Gemara says a crazy thing. It says, when he asked, who is this person who's causing you problems? Does anyone know the words of the Megillah, what she says? Say. Ish, Tsar, V'oyev, Haman.
That's what Esther said.
Yeah. I don't know what I said. What did Esther say? Right? Ish tsar v'oyev haman harazeh. Says the Gemara, when she says the words ish tsar v'oyev, who's she talking to? Who's she talking about? Achashverosh. She's looking at Achashverosh. Achashverosh goes, who is it? And she goes, it's you. She goes, right? She goes like this. She goes, it's you. But you ever saw those the films when they switch from Japanese to American? Like, right? She goes, it's Homun. And when she does, she goes like this. Ish tsar v'oyev. I can't. I have to practice. This is going to be hard. I get back to like speech therapy, right? Right? Ish tsar v'oyev. Human. And the Malach came and pushed her hand away. I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're talking to Achashverosh. Who is she really talking to? She was speaking to Hamelech. What's Hamelech in Miguel's sister? Hamelech is talking about Hashem. She's looking directly at Achashverosh, but she's not talking to Achashverosh. She was talking to Hashem. Achashverosh starts talking, and she goes, if you don't mind, you're interrupting me. And he's like, are you talking to me? Like, what? I'm not talking to you. Says the Gaon. The only God. Esther was so aligned with Hashem, she didn't care to say it right to Achashverosh's face because, you know, she had no power. Principal of a school, no power. Zero power. Not true, they didn't let the kid in the school. No power. They're just a stick. You want the biggest riot for this? This is amazing. Paro's whole goal was to destroy the savior of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And Paro raised the savior of the Jewish people. You started thinking about that. Moshe sat on Paro's lap eating coals and touching gold. You understand? It's like unbelievable. He raised the Savior. You think like his whole goal is to destroy that and stay in control? And you're the very guy that actually developed him. And the Mepharshim say he developed him in a way because he was supposed to be from Malchus, who's going to run the Jewish people. He needed to grow up in a home where there was royalty. Could he understand what it was? He was raised with royalty to save the Jewish people by the very one that wanted to destroy him. Nobody has power. Nobody. And if we really lived, it's just so much more I want to share with you, but if we really, but if we really lived to such an idea, then with the concept of Chovas HaShayah B'Tachon, that means living totally chill. Doesn't like, I'm totally good. Totally good. Totally good. Last time I was talking about the fact trying to get my kid to school, it's a whole ball again, and now I'm like, Vaita to like, it just sticks. It's all it is. It's nothing. Sickness, just a stick. Just a stick. Being sick, being ill, dying, as I've said in the past. I was there. I said it then. I'm not like, it's easy you to save me. I've been there. It's just a stick. That's all it is. It's literally, okay. And if you die, it's also the greatest thing ever. That sounds crazy, but it ain't no lie. Everything that happens to us, not that we do it ourselves, it's a different story, but everything that happens to us is all from Hashem. Therefore, our point is to go and look. What is Hashem? We have to talk again because there's something we have to bring home, which is so powerful. All right, we missed it. Okay.
No, just take 1 more minute.
Yeah. No, I'll tell Rabbi Shore. It's like forget him. Okay. Yeah, forget about you. Yeah. How many? 1,000 people? No, tell him. Forget it. No. Oh, they're going off the derech again. Oh my goodness! I don't even care. I don't even care. No. I can't say that. I could say it's just silly to do it because it has to be built. You have to understand, like. I could say all my things in 10 seconds, but that's not the point. The point isn't to just say, oh, I told you, Rabbi Schwartz. I'm coming right now. Okay.
Just a sec, literally.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Have B'tachon. Zag Have a great day.
We're going to be careful on the next.